Now, the UN Secretary General says he is deeply concerned about the protection of children in Yemen. Ban Ki-moon said he stands by a report that placed Saudi Arabia and its allies on a UN blacklist for killing and injuring about 1,200 Yemeni children last year. Speaking at a Security Council, Ban said the situation on the ground in Yemen will be closely monitored. He added that during talks with Saudi officials, he had received information about measures being taken to protect Yemeni children and that he will make sure they are implemented. The UN chief also pointed out that Saudi Arabia and its allies were temporarily removed from the blacklist to review the issue. He, however, noted that the removal came as they threatened to stop funding UN programs. Well, let's speak to Soraya Sepapul-Ulrich. She's an independent researcher and writer, and she joins us via Skype from Irvine. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, ma'am. Now, there are many who are criticizing Ban Ki-moon, saying that if he was genuinely concerned about the protection of children in Yemen, he wouldn't have buckled into pressure and removed Saudi Arabia from that blacklist to begin with.
I think those who make this criticism are spot on, and unfortunately, the situation in Yemen and all the wars we now witness kind of remind me of the Million Dialogue, and in which a historian more over 2,500 years ago had said that the strong do what they can and the weak suffer what they must. And this has been embodied in the United Nations. The United Nations, which ironically, the term was first coined by President Roosevelt to fight the axis of power, has become a tool for the powerful, and that power is derived from money. Yes, the Ban Ki-moon himself admitted in June that he removed Saudi Arabia-led coalition from his blacklist because it had been threatened with funding. Now, that tells me, that should tell everybody, that the United Nations is bought by money, and so therefore, why is it that we were abiding by its rules? Why is it that we're allowing the United Nations to put a legal cap on wars, on genocide, and on child kidnapping, child slavery? And what Ban Ki-moon says is he'll keep a close eye on the ground to make sure the children are safe. What he should be saying is, why is Saudi Arabia, why is the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen in the first place? This is not a legal war. It has not been sanctioned by the United Nations. And he should be discouraging the parties from being engaged in this war, not giving hollow words and promises that he'll keep the children safe.
Well, that actually brings me to my next question, as far as Ban saying that he had received information about measures that are being taken to protect Yemeni children by the during the Saudi aggression. Now, is this really just empty words, or do you think Saudi Arabia will be taking these measures?
Look, I don't believe for a moment, I don't believe Saudi Arabia will take the measures. If it had any intention of taking the measures, or if he had a conscience, any morality, these crimes would not be happening in the first place. And if Mr. Ban Ki-moon was really genuine, he would take a leaf from Dennis Halliday, who was so appalled by what was going on during the sanctions imposed on Iraq, with all the children dying, that he actually quit from his post. Now, Mr. Ban Ki-moon is very happy with all the adulation he gets in that very prominent post and all the pompous ceremonies that go with it, but he doesn't want to sacrifice that to really promote justice. And really, words are not going to help anything. Actions do.
And before I let you go, Ms. Sepapul-Ulrich, of course, Saudi Arabia's track record, not just outside the kingdom, but also within it, speaks for itself when it comes to children, when it comes to human rights. It seems that that is no longer an issue.
It really isn't, but, you know, I really do want to point out, I mean, Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabi kingdom, has an obnoxious record, a terrible record as far as all abuses go, but Saudi Arabia is not alone in this. I think that we mustn't forget the United States is enabling it, Israel is helping it, and there is the United Arab Emirates. I mean, the relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, to me, is like a seesaw. The more the Saudis sink, the more the UAE is rising up. And the UAE is almost a silent partner in all the atrocities that are taking place, but we are focusing on Saudi Arabia, as we should. But not, we mustn't forget what the UAE is doing in the region, not only in Yemen, they have soldiers in Yemen, but also the funding and everything else that they're doing. But as far as Saudi Arabia goes, well, its time has come to an end. Its times of glory and being excused from all that it's been doing, it's come to an end. It's a matter of time, and they continuously refuse to wake up. But I think that it's very clear to anybody who's watching U.S. foreign policy, and especially foreign policy in the region, they can see that Saudi Arabia's time's up.
Well, hopefully we could discuss UAE's involvement at a later date. That's Soraya Sepahpour-Ulrich, independent researcher and writer, joining us via Skype from Irvine. It's always a pleasure having you with us here on Press TV, ma'am.